I want to invite you all to open your Bibles at the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read the first 8 verses from 1 Kings 19, 1 Împărați 19, 1 la 8. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals, a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. December 26th, January the 2nd, Monday, the day after your birthday, the morning after the great victory on Mount Carmel. What do all these days have in common? Well, all these days have in common one thing, and that is the potential of being a very bad day. Have you noticed that after a great victory, after a tremendous day in our life, sometimes there's a letdown, there's a disappointment. And people that want to live significant and successful lives understand that it's not about avoiding bad days because you can't, but it's about learning how to deal and how to cope with bad days. And tonight I want to come before you with a message that is entitled, "When Bad Days Come Upon Your Way." When bad days come upon your way. And when I say bad days, I don't refer to just 24-hour period of time, but I say bad days as in bad seasons in our lives. We're in the 1 Kings 19, and to kind of back the track up a little bit, in chapter 17, Elijah's prophesying, and he says that it's not going to rain in the country at his word, and it doesn't rain for over 3 years. We are in Israel, where Ahab is a king, the weakest and the worst king in the history of people of Israel. And then Elijah's going and he's having this little mini chat with Obadiah, and then he's going and he's facing Ahab. And he says, "Okay, Ahab, you know what? You bring your 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I'm going to go there. They're going to bring a sacrifice. I'm going to bring a sacrifice. And let's see to whom is God going to respond." And it's very interesting, you know, how Elijah, when he goes there, he's addressing the nation. And he says, "Guys, until when are you going to be limping with both of your legs? If Baal is your God, then go serve Baal. But if the Lord is your God, then serve the Lord." And, you know, they try to bring a sacrifice, but God doesn't respond to these prophets of Baal. And then Elijah's bringing a sacrifice, and God responds. And not only that he responds, but he brings rain, and the whole nation, all the people of Israel, they say, "The Lord is God." And Elijah's killing all these 450 prophets of Baal with a sword. And after this amazing day, after this glorious day, after this tremendous victory, Elijah wants to die. Elijah runs away from a woman. Elijah flees. Elijah runs away for his life. You know, sometimes bad days are caused by our own choices. A certain relationship that you got into, a certain marriage, a financial decision that you made that can cause you to have a bad day. But you can't always blame yourself for a bad day. You can't blame sickness or the death of a loved one on a decision that you made. Sometimes bad days are just caused by living in a sinful and an infected world. And there's some consequences that we can draw up from this text. First of all, discouragement. Elijah was discouraged. He was, after that glorious day, after he saw what happened on Carmel, seeing that Jezebel wants to take his life, he was discouraged. And this is what happens with us so many times. After a great victory, we are discouraged and we fell into anxiety and fear and depression. The second one is restlessness. He goes 120 miles from Jezreel all the way to Beersheba. And again, that's true for us. So many times, brothers and sisters, we are engaging ourselves in meaningless activities instead of focusing on what's really important. And thirdly, foolish decisions. He goes and he hides in a cave. He runs from his calling to be a prophet. And again, that's true for us so many times. We run away from our calling, from the calling that God has for us. We run away from God. We run away from church. We run away from people that care about us, people that love us, family, people that want the best for us. Not just consequences, but there's some causes for bad days. And the first one is facing the challenging circumstances instead of facing God. Facing the challenging circumstances instead of facing God. Now, let me give you an example here. We live in Southern California, right? And we have good weather here for most of the time. But it's not always like that. Sometimes, especially in the winter, it's rainy. You wake up in the morning, you want to go to work, you get into your car, and you get on 5 freeway, and it's a ugly day, it's a rainy day, it's traffic on 5, I know, but now it's going to be more traffic because it's going to be an accident for sure. Why? Because people don't know how to drive on rain, right? Sometimes you wake up in the morning, it's a Sunday morning, you want to go to church and you put your nice suit and you put your nice shoes and then you see that it's a rainy, cloudy day and you might say, well, that must not be a good day to church today. That's a reality. But if you are to fly 10,000 feet above that day, there's no rain, there's no clouds, there's complete sunshine. Now my question for you each is, what's the reality? That ugly, muddy, or rainy day, that the weather that I can see it with my eyes outside? Or what's 10,000 feet above, or that sunshine? Those, brothers and sisters, are both realities. Those are called parallel realities. You know, I'm not denying your cancer. I'm not denying your problem. I'm not denying your issue. It's visible. It's there. It's a reality. You can see it. You can feel it. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's another reality. There is a God that is greater than your fear. There is a God that is greater than your problems. There is a God that is greater than your issues. There is a God that is greater than your limited conditions. And the question that I have for you tonight is, what are you going to face? Are you going to face the challenging circumstances, or are you going to face God that is greater than your circumstances? Elijah decided to face the challenging circumstances and the fear of Jezebel. The second one is having unrealistic expectations. You know, he believed that all these people, well, indeed, they all said God is great because they saw the water, they saw the rain. But the next day, they were killing prophets. It's an unrealistic expectation for me to preach today here and expect, I don't know, 5,000 people at church next Sunday. It's an unrealistic expectation to have 3, 4, 5 months English sermons and then to expect miracles to happen, because it takes more than that. It takes commitment, it takes prayer, it takes a vision, it takes direction, it takes us to be united, to be together. There's so many things. Having unrealistic expectation is expecting your health to always be good. Expect to never have financial situation. Expect your kids to never make foolish decisions. Those, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, are unrealistic expectations. And then thirdly, another cause is believing we're indispensable. And that was true for Elijah. He thought that he's the only one faithful in Israel. And he thought that the revive has to come through him. And when he saw that the revive didn't come through him, he was broken. He was down. And then God had to remind him, Elijah, you're not the only one, buddy. There's another 7,000 that didn't bow down to Baal. There's another 100 prophets, remember, hidden in a cave, fed with water and bread by Obadiah. Believing that we're indispensable. Well, if I don't preach, then no one can preach. Well, if I don't sing, then no one can sing. Well, if I'm not going to be part of the choir, then the choir can sing. No, that's not real. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is that we're all replaceable. But God put a gift in you, and God put a gift in me. And if I decide to not use that talent, that gift that God put in me, then that's not going to be God's loss, but that will be my loss. Believing that we're indispensable. Now, we looked at the consequences for bad days. We look at the causes for bad days. Now let's look, what's the cure? What's the solution for bad days? And I want to stop at four things tonight. And the first one is expect bad days. Expect bad days. You see, the title of my message is not if bad days come upon your way, but when bad days come upon your way. In John 16:33, Jesus Christ says, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of a good cheer. I overcome the world. În lume veți avea necazuri, dar îndrăsniți, spune Iisus, eu am biruit lumea. There are at least three moments that will trigger a bad day. Three moments in your life when you are guaranteed to have a bad day. The first one is the death of a loved one. Now, I got to be honest with you, other than grandparents and uncles or aunts, I didn't lose someone very, very, very close to me. And I'm sure there's people here that lost someone that they loved. And you guys know how that feels way better than I do. But I remember the year 2000, I was 16 years old, and it was one of those Romanian long summer nights, and I was talking to one of my neighbors. He was 19. He just finished the high school, and he was going to through a training automotive program. And I talked to him, and I said, Adu, what are you going to do tomorrow? And he said, well, I have to work under this car. And the next day, he was working under a car and in a garage. The car wasn't secure, right, and he fell on his head. This 19-year-old was in a coma for 3 days, and the third day, he died. Now, a few months before, his mom and dad were driving around the city, and his mom said, honey, just stop here for a second. I want to buy some groceries really quick. Just wait for me in the car. And she went, she bought the stuff, she came back, and when she came back, her husband was dead with a heart attack. This woman in her 40s, she lost her husband and her son within 2 or 3 months. You know, I remember the funeral. This is a face that I'm never going to forget in my life. This woman was destroyed completely. If you can imagine a person that is completely destroyed, you literally were able to read the pain on her face. Sometimes we have to expect bad days. The death of a loved one can cause us to have a bad day. Then, secondly, maybe the loss of a job, the loss of your security in a sexual assault. Maybe when you lose your house in a fire, because you're kind of like wondering, you're asking yourself, like, where is God? Is God really to be trusted? I mean, if I'm losing my security, if I'm losing my home, if I'm losing my husband or my wife, is really God to be trusted? Is he really in control of my life? Remember Job? He lost everything in one day. He lost his health, his wealth, and his kids. And despite all that, he comes and says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave, he took away. Blessed be the name of God. And everybody's applauding and says, look what a great man of faith Job is. But that's Job in chapter 1 and 2. Later on, you know, a lot of us preachers, we don't like to preach later on from Job because Job fell into a funk, guys. Job fell into a depression. Job fell into an anxiety. Job started asking questions. Job curses the day when he was born. You know, I see people a lot of times at funerals, they go and they say, look at this son of this deceased one. Look how strong he is. He didn't even shed a tear. But that's not strength, brothers and sisters. That's just shock. That's all that it is. They're in shock. Only a couple days after the death of a loved one, the pain really kicks in. That's why it's very important when we have someone in our lives, a friend or someone in our family that lost someone that they love, to surround them, not just a day or two after the funeral, but maybe months after, because this is a pain that never completely heals and it takes time. It takes time. And then, thirdly, perhaps after a great success, a bad day can come. Maybe after you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Maybe after your wedding day or after your honeymoon. Maybe after a great day in your life. Maybe after a promotion that you had at work, a bad day will trigger. A bad day will come. But did you know that we can sometimes schedule bad days? Yes. Sometimes we can schedule bad days. We can put them on our calendar. You know, the day when you come from a vacation, for example, that's going to be a hard day. The day when you come back from a hospital after you had a surgery, a main surgery, that's going to be a bad day. The day when you change, I don't know how many time zones, coming from Australia or coming from Romania, that's not going to be an easy day. Therefore, put it on our calendar. So, brothers and sisters, when bad days come upon our way, the first thing is to expect bad days, because they're inevitable. Expect bad days. Then second of all, the second thing that we have to do is to refresh ourselves physically. The Bible says that Elijah goes 120 miles from Jezreel all the way to Beersheba. And when he got there, he was exhausted. I mean, to go 120 miles, that's about 174 kilometers. I mean, that's 24 hours. You gotta almost run. I mean, you gotta walk pretty fast. And when he got there, he was physically exhausted. And when you're physically exhausted, you don't think right anymore. I mean, when you're physically exhausted already and you got the news that you've been terminated from your work, you're probably going to say, I'm never going to find a job again. Or your mate wants to divorce you, I'm never going to marry again. Or I don't know, something happens in your life, you get diagnosed with I don't know what, you're probably going to say, I'm going to die. Because you're already physically exhausted and you don't think right. But this is not the reality. But your reality is worked by your perception. Why? Because you're already physically exhausted and you can't think rational. You can't think right. The Bible says in verse 5a, then he lay and slept under a broom tree. Did you know that sleep is from God? Sleep is from God. The Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 3 that God grants sleep to the ones he loves. Sleep, brothers and sisters, can be the cure for a bad day, but the lack of sleep can be the cause for a bad day. Not only sleep, but food as well, physical sustenance. Look what the Bible says here, starting from verse 5b in 1 Kings 19. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals, a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God, which is Mount Sinai. You know, I saw people, met people sometimes, they're under a depression and nothing looks good for them anymore. They can't eat. Now you're not going to have just a mental or psychological or an emotional problem, but you're going to have a physical problem too, because you don't eat when that's exactly what you need. Remember that moment with Paul, that episode in Acts 27, he was in prison in Jerusalem and then he was sent to stand in Rome in front of Nero, and he goes on a boat, and there's a crew and there's a big storm, and those people there thought that they're gonna die, and they didn't eat absolutely anything for 14 days. And after 14 days, the Bible says that Paul took some bread and he gave them to eat. You know, it's very interesting. You know, Paul didn't have a three-hour prayer thing. Paul did a very basic and a very simple thing. He took food and he gave him to eat, because he understood that food was what they need to regain their power and their strength. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you know why it's our habit and our custom sometimes to visit, you know, when we visit people that are sick or people that lost someone that they loved, you know, we go with food, right? That's what we do. We go with food. We bring them food. We bring them a cake, or we take them to a restaurant. You know why we do that? We don't do that necessarily because they wouldn't have anything to eat. But we do that because this is a message that says life will go on. In spite of your problem, in spite of your issue, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the trial or the tribulation that you're going through right now, you will not die. Life will go on, amen. Life will go on. So refresh yourselves physically. And then third of all, straighten yourself spiritually. Straighten yourself spiritually. The Bible says that after he got to Mount Horeb, Elijah has that little pity party with God. Oh God, you know, I've been zealous for you, and you know, I've done all these things, but look at your people, they all forsaken you, and I'm the only one left. But look what the Bible says here, in starting with verse 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind tore into mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's so interesting, brothers and sisters. A lot of times when we pray, we want God to answer us instantaneously, on the spot. God, you see my cancer, heal me now. God, you see my kids, they turned away from you. God, I beg you, bring them back now. God, you see the financial situation that I'm in right now. I got to pay my mortgage. I'm 3 ways ahead and I don't have any money. Do something now. Sometimes God works through miracles, but most of the times he doesn't. Remember Jesus? He healed people. He brought people from death to life. He healed many, but not the majority, not all of them. Sometimes God works through miracles, but most of the times he doesn't. Brothers and sisters, youth, ladies and gentlemen, Emmanuel Church tonight. Most of the times God doesn't speak through an earthquake. Most of the times God doesn't speak through a big storm. Most of the times God doesn't speak through a wind. But most of the times God speaks through a small voice. A small voice that gives you strength to fight that cancer. A small voice that gives you power and the ability to accept the departure of that prodigal son. A small voice that gives you wisdom to deal with the financial situations and difficulties that you're in. Remember David? In 1 Samuel 30, perhaps one of the worst episodes in his life, after that moment when he was pointed by Nathan of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and the news was broadcasted in the whole Israel, was the day when he was staged at Ziklag with his army. He's staged there and then he comes back home and he realizes that in the meantime, the Amalekites came and they took their wives and they took their kids and they burned all their houses, right? And if this would have not been enough, now his own people want to kill him. Now this is what I call a really bad day. But what is David doing? What is David doing? Is he losing his mind? Is he going insane? Is he going crazy? No. The Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Because if you're going to make it through a tough time, if you're going to make it through a storm, if you're going to make it through a bad day, if you're going to make it through a difficulty, if you're going to make it through tribulation, if you're going to make it through a really tough time in your life, my brother and my sister, that's only going to be by straining yourself in the Lord, to be able to open your eyes, to be able to open your mind, to be able to understand and to hear that small voice of the Lord, because this is how God speaks most of the times. You know, some of you guys will probably say, well, that's very good because I'm going through a bad time and that's exactly what I need. But maybe some of you will say, well, I'm not going through any bad time in my life. I'm not going through any bad season in my life right now. Just wait. It will come. And you know, I was thinking about five practical steps. Some of the things are things that I've done in my life. Some of the things are things that I read about that we can do practically. What can we do when we go through a bad day in our life, when we go through a bad season? Five things. First of all, take some time off. You know, to be with the Lord. But I'm not talking about hopefully we all have our own daily time with the Lord. But when you go through a difficult time in your life, take some time off. Maybe a half an hour a day, maybe an hour or two, and be with the Lord. Maybe in your car, maybe at the beach, maybe in your office, maybe somewhere else. I don't know. Just be with the Lord. You and the Lord. Now you will say, what am I going to do then? Read something from the Bible. I'm not talking about your daily reading. No. Read something from the Bible. Like, for instance, if you need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God, read Psalm 34. If you screwed up really bad and you need God's forgiveness, Psalm 51 is for you. If you need to be reminded of God's love, Romans 8 is for you. Third thing, try to memorize a verse or two from the Bible to give you strength and power through that battle throughout that day. Then fourth, go back home and get a Christian book and read a chapter or two on the attributes of God. Now, some people will say, why do I need that when I already have the Bible? We need that because, brothers and sisters, we don't serve a tradition. We don't serve a philosophy, but we serve a real person. We serve a real person, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded that this real person is in control of our life, is in control of our future, and is in control of our destiny. Amen. And then, fifth and last, the most important thing, pray. Pray, pray, pray. And don't forget to already thank God for already answering your question. You know, one of the preachers and pastors that I admire a lot one time said, when you go through a difficult time in your life, he said, take a sheet of paper and a pen and write the title, Worry List. And after you do that, go on that paper and start writing down all your worries that you have. If it's a page, two, three, you know, don't stop until you don't have any worry. And when you think you did all that and you wrote all your worries down on the paper, go back on the top of the list and erase the word worry and write the word prayer. Transform your worry list into your prayer list. Because this is what the Bible says. Do not worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. You know, one of the things that I've done, I remember about 10 years ago when I was going through a deep depression. I got to a stage where I took a piece of paper and a pen. And I start writing down a prayer. I poured out my heart. Like literally, I just poured out I wrote everything that was on my heart. And I don't know, I think I feel like 3 or 4 pages. It was a prayer, a desperate prayer to the Lord. Now, if this would have not been good enough, I took the paper, I put it on an envelope. I wrote from Abel Tirla, I put my address, and I wrote to God. I put a stamp and I put it in the mailbox. Now, after a couple days, the paper came back. And when I saw it, I said, oh my God, this letter. I'm like, good thing this male guy didn't see me. What was he thinking? What a crazy person. Who does that, right? Now, a couple years ago, I was organizing my stuff in my desk, and I ran into that letter. You know, I opened it, and I started reading. And I was shocked. You know why? Because absolutely all of the things that I requested in that paper were fulfilled already by God. Not the way I thought 10 years ago. Not the way I dreamed 10 years ago. But the best way, the way He did it. Amen. Transform your worry list into your prayer list. Because God works. Amen. So strengthen yourselves spiritually. And fourth and last, brothers and sisters, encourage each other emotionally. Encourage each other emotionally. Look at the Bible says here in verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I sent you to Mount Horeb, God says, but I didn't send you to hide in a cave. I tell you to hide in a cave. What are you doing in the cave, Elijah? It's so sad that I see so many times people that go through a difficult time in their lives. And they say, you know what, I'm going to take some time off from church. I'm just going to take some time off from choir. I'm just going to take some time off from the Bible study. I'm going to take some time off from preaching. I'm just going to take some time off. What a big mistake. What a big mistake to take a time off in a time of need when this is when you really need God the most. You know, a story says about a city by the name of Rosero in Pennsylvania that was established by Italian immigrants. And in that city, there was a physician. And one day, this physician was visited by a doctor. And, you know, they were talking and the physician says, well, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of work for me to do here in this city. As a matter of fact, no one really has any heart disease in this city and barely people get sick. And when the doctor heard that, he said, wow, that's really strange. Like, I wonder why that is. And they said, they start making a study case on that. And they said, well, maybe it's because of what they eat. But they were Italians. I mean, they were eating pizza and sausage and pasta. Those are unhealthy things. And then they said, well, maybe they work out. But they didn't really work out. And then he said, well, maybe it's the genes. But good luck trying to explain that for everyone in the city. You know what they discovered that was the secret for them being healthy? Unity. Unity. They were united in church, in social activities, in clubs. They were hanging out with each other. They were together, not just Sunday, but every day of the week, they were spending time together. Because brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, a relationship with God is very important, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You know, when God created the world and the earth and then he created Adam and he said, well, what I did was perfect, but something's missing. The woman. We're created for each other. We're created to be together. We're created to be here in the church Sunday night. Someone hears me. Maybe. We're created for this. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to come to church, or maybe, you know, I'm just going to watch it online. Online is for people that really can't be here. It's important to be in the house of the Lord, because let me give you an example, and for you it might sound silly, but it's very realistic. Now, if I want to move my hand up and down, right, I want to move it, what do I need? I need some muscles, right, to be able to move these tendons, right? And then there are some commandments that have to start from the brain. Now, if my head right now would be at Disneyland, but my body would be here, would I be able to move this hand? Would I? No. Do you think that if you're not here, you can be part of the church? Do you think that if you're not here, you can build this bride of God? If we can be together building the bride of God, we can't build the kingdom of God. That's why it's important to be here. It's important to be together. Why? So we can encourage each other. So we can love upon each other. So we can talk to each other. So we can give each other strength and power and the ability to keep on going, to go on. Remember the disciples when they received Jesus and when they received the Holy Spirit in Acts, they were together, they were united, they were loving each other, they were helping each other, they were one body, because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Encourage each other, not just at the individual level, but at a collective level. Understanding the meaning that we have, understanding the society that we live in, understanding the culture that we live in, understanding the call that we have, the call to love upon each other. We are not here just to be a church in the corner of Cerritos and Euclid. We are here to spread the word of God, amen, to spread the word of God. A lot of times when we read from Matthew 28, we have that impression, oh, go all over the world to the margins of the world. Oh, perhaps that's Africa. Oh, perhaps that's Asia. No, you know how I see it? The margins of the world for me can be Loara High School. The margins of the world for me can be Magnolia High School. The margins of the world for me can be a Garden Grove Hospital. We can do something, and we need to build the kingdom of God. Amen. But it's only going to happen if we are together, if we are united,
If united, we understand our calling, our meaning, and the times that we live in. Therefore, when bad days come upon your way, what do you have to do? What do I have to do? Expect bad days. They're going to happen. Expect them. They're inevitable. They're going to come sooner or later. But don't be discouraged. Refresh yourselves physically. Take care of yourself. Understand that not just in a spiritual level, but at a physical level, we are, our bodies are the temple of Christ. Not only that, but strain yourself spiritually, starving for Christ, starving for the Bible, starving for a relationship with Him. And then, lastly, encouraging yourself, building yourself, loving upon yourself, and together getting to finally build the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. God help us.